Welcome back to Wylo's Party Line on a finally Friday. Let's thank our sponsors, Wealthy Custom Exteriors, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, Simple Time Antiques, your Edward Jones advisor, Brett Capps, Ivy Tech Community College, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, and Encompass Credit Union. I'm Kevin Keith, along with Wylo News Director Ken Hartman. And joining us on the phone, we've got Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Sommer. Tony, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in this morning, as we always do, at least get a chance to sit down with you once a month. What's the latest with the prosecutor's office? What can we talk about this morning?
Well, the prosecutor's office is kind of in normalcy mode at this time. You know, we had talked about last year we had fewer cases filed, but it was because police had slowed down during the COVID time frame. We're back to more of a normal filing level. Now we're seeing the kinds of arrests that typically are made this time of year and our filing level, 360 cases so far this year, is on track with what our filing level was prior to the pandemic.
Tony, have you guys discussed how you're going to handle when they start working upstairs yet?
Well, I mean, we are working, and right now it's a matter of you know, trials are stacked up because jury trials could not be done for quite some time under the directions and guidance given by the Supreme Court to our judges. Those restrictions have been eased to the point where we can return to trials but still have to maintain social distancing, so it puts us in a position where as we conduct the trials, we have to have enough space to have prospective jurors sit at least 6 feet apart during the selection process. Thus far, we have been able to proceed, but it's the kind of thing that, yeah, we have to continue to kind of modify our procedures in order to accommodate. The trial settings are deep because they've been waiting now for months and months and months, and so each trial day that comes around, I know that in both of our courts we're stacked, you know, 6 to 12 cases set for trial on any given trial day.
Have you, if and when Structure Point decides to start up there, do you think you guys may have to move or not use that courtroom, or what do you think may happen?
That's, well, I mean, in terms of the remodeling that's going to go forward, it's going to be taking place over time. It hasn't begun yet, so that hasn't impacted us. We're still just impacted by the COVID restrictions. When that impacts us to the extent that we lose space, a courtroom, then we'll have to, you know, conduct matters where we can, how we can. We're adaptable. We can do it.
Okay. All right.
Tony, we had a story a minute ago about the Indiana lawmakers overriding a veto from Governor Holcomb on the House and Senate achieving the majority votes needed to give themselves more authority during a governor-declared emergency. Is this just the lawmakers wanting a little say, or is this a partisan thing? Or Ken and I were talking about it. It seems like it would make sense to have one person as the point person, which I think would be our governor.
When you have to respond quickly, then it's easier to do so when the number of people involved in the decision are fewer. And so one decision maker, that person makes up his or her mind and action can be taken. So I agree with you in that kind of fundamental way. But then we're dealing with a system of laws where different people exercise different kinds of authority. Governor exercises executive authority. The General Assembly exercises our legislative authority under our state constitution. And there has to be a balance. And where there is time, and it is a matter of action taken where statutes are being applied, and it's a modification or an interpretation of those statutes, the General Assembly always has authority to act. So it's just that balance in our system. It's a check and balance system, as we've discussed in the past.
Mm-hmm. What about on a national level with COVID? It seems like I saw a report this morning that the number of new COVID-19 cases has doubled nearly globally over the last 2 months. But at a local level or at a state level, it seems like we're at least pointed in the right direction. Do you see things continuing to open up as we're all hoping over the next couple months?
I follow the news on that like everyone else does, mm-hmm. and the reporting indicates that the majority of new cases in the United States are limited to less than a half dozen states. Indiana is not one of them at this time. So it's a matter of keeping track of what are the conditions locally and what is the proper response, and it's the job of health officials to track that and report that to executive authority, and then we respond accordingly. And I also have been following the vaccine information and how they're now saying that we're going to need a third vaccine and a booster, and I'm starting to feel like I'm Microsoft Windows and need regular updating.
Right? Oh, gosh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. You know, Ken and I were talking about that, too. You know, I guess maybe that's something that if we don't have a choice, it's amazing what you can get used to when you don't have a choice.
Right.
But it still is your choice to take the vaccine or not, right? Nobody's ramming this down anyone's throat.
Yes. Absolutely. That's the way I understand it as well.
And I've seen more and more colleges are now requiring that. So it may be a fine line. You know, we may start seeing things go to the Supreme Court with a student taking a college to, you know, all the way to the Supreme Court because they don't want a vaccine.
Certainly a balancing of rights, very similar to the way we've seen vaccine requirements in local schools in order to try and maintain a safe environment for students to attend classes. Schools want to see the student population report vaccinations at the beginning of the school year. This is going to be a kind of a similar situation, I think.
When COVID first really got a go, you know, I want to go back to the governor thing for a second. Was there anything that he did that you think was in violation of, you know, maybe his overstepping his powers?
We talked about that at the time, that given response to a health emergency, that the executive is vested with a good deal of authority to take steps that are reasonably appropriate in order to safeguard the community. So, I'm not aware of anything that was an overstepping. Now, the longer that the situation continues, the more time there is for the legislature to step in and modify whatever edict, executive order has been handed down from the governor, then there can be that balancing that occurs. When that occurs, if the action taken by the legislative authority is different than the governor's action, my opinion is that the legislature is appropriately acting at that point. So there's this back and forth and this balancing. In other words, what I'm telling you is the governor's executive order isn't going to trump a new statute that the legislature puts in place that governs.
All right. Okay.
Tony, what about the Democrats coming out this week saying that they want to expand the Supreme Court? I guess that's legal. There's a process to go through that, right?
There is a process, and the legal process, it's been followed in the past when FDR wanted to pack the court in order to move programs through the court in response to the Great Depression. But it's also a very tricky situation when it's a matter of, you know, the executive and Congress wanting to somehow pack the court for a particular policy outcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's tricky business. So, we'll see how it all goes.
To me, that seems more like, okay, we've always been talking about, you know, having less government involved, but it seems like we're getting more government involved.
Oh, well, certainly.
Well, there's a Democrat in the White House. That's why.
Well, that's what the Republicans do.
Well, what I've said in the past, I mean, I've spent the bulk of my adult life in state government, being with the Indiana State Police and now serving as the elected prosecutor here in the county. So I've seen local government, I've seen state government, and I've seen state government interacting with federal government over more than 30 years now. And what I've observed about government is that if you want something done right, you don't want government doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That the business of government seems to be to expand itself and to ever grow a bureaucracy that is inefficient and ineffective. But it does address, you know, we have to have government because it addresses the general problem of the crisis of the commons, as I refer to it, which is those things that are not going to be addressed unless we have a government in place to take care of it. The basic infrastructure needs that we have, an economy that supports, you know, a currency that's uniformly accepted, where business can be transacted. And the idea of protecting people's individual rights from government authority. All are built into our system of government. Government is necessary, but it's not a good way to get things done. So
yeah.
There you go.
Tony, is there anything else you'd like to bring up here before we let you go? We always appreciate the 15 minutes we can get with you on Friday morning.
Certainly. No, I appreciate it, too. And I guess what I was struck by this morning, that it was you know, a pretty spring morning. I like these mornings, sunshine, cool air. But then I, listening to the news this morning, and I'm hearing of a new shooting incident, this time much closer to home, at the FedEx facility down in Indianapolis. And I know that there's a lot of attention, public discussion at this point regarding those incidents. I do think that there has to be some kind of response to what's going on. I look at the response, and the response seems to always want to focus on, you know, what kind of firearm was used and what's the background of the person who was the shooter in the incident. And so I really don't know that those are the most important things. The nature of the firearm doesn't seem that consequential to me. It seems just as bad if it would have been something other than a firearm that was being used. And the background of the individual that's involved, it certainly helps to explain how we wound up where we wound up. But in the end, you know, everybody's responsible for the decisions they make and the actions. And so I don't want to start saying that these events, you know, are okay because of the person's bad upbringing, or that somehow that explains what happened. It is exhausting that we have these incidents that keep occurring, and we have to keep hearing it in our media because it keeps occurring. I'm not saying the media shouldn't report it. I just would like to see a new way of talking about the subject, I guess, is what I'm offering.
Okay.
All right. Well, Tony, we appreciate it, and you and yours have a great weekend.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Sommer on Why Those Party Lie. Ken and I will be back with more in just a moment.
It's true. Many of us spend more time thinking about what's for dinner than preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs deserve more attention, I agree, and I'd like to help. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Brett Capps. Together, we can give your long-term retirement strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by my office at 1748 East Wabash Street. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
You need to know.
And then we have Prairie Creek Park, which will be in the middle of May. We're looking at a grand opening and ribbon cutting then.
On the air first when seconds count.
There's still a lot of people around the country who are at risk for having this illness. We know that using masks and hand sanitation, keeping our distance, really makes a big difference.
The news team you've come to depend on.
It is one of the few cancers that we have that is preventable, meaning that we can detect precancerous things or things that can become cancer before they become cancer and remove them.
Your official weather station.
Really, once the county put the red flag warning out, so to speak, we had a lot of people stay home. I don't know why, if you can't look out the window and see that you need to stay home.
When you need to know, WILO. Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
When you need to know, use WILO. For over 60 years, the WILO weather team has been bringing expertise, resources, and experience to be here when you need us. Thunderstorms, blizzards, delays, cancellations, hail, tornado events, heat advisories, and more. Like our extensive coverage of the damage caused by the 4.0 earthquake that struck Clinton County. When you need to know, use WILO, the station you can depend on.
Here's Dave Ramsey with today's Ramsey Reality Check.
See, I'm a little tired of everybody talking about forgiving student loans and making student loans bankruptable without first doing away with the problem. And it's a major problem for some of you. I get that. And I'm not unsympathetic to that. But if it's such a bad thing that we've done to all these young people, why are we not presenting legislation to stop it?
Dave Ramsey, weekdays 4 to 5 on WILO.
Shop local, buy local, save big.
Hi, I'm Jenny, the manager over at your Big Deals online store. Did you know that when you shop locally, 83 cents of that dollar stays in town? Local businesses are the lifeblood of our community, and that's why you should shop your Big Deals online store. Dozens of gift certificates to local businesses, all in one convenient place. And best of all, they never expire.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Alright, here we go. Finally Friday here, Ken.
I like Wild Weekends too, but I don't know if I want to do it with this one.
I always said that I would like to party with George Jones just once.
You can't do it anymore.
No,
but you're going to do it a different way than what everybody else would.
Although I think that that would probably be all I could handle is just once with George Jones.
I don't know, I won't go any further.
I played that for my neighbor Jewel this morning. She's a big George Jones fan.
Yeah.
And she was telling me last weekend while I was trying to get my lawnmower out of their shed.
Why don't you find something with George Jones and Tammy Wynette?
Well, she's a big George Jones fan, and she said, anytime you can play more George Jones, and I told her that'll probably be the only song you ever hear on YLO. But
okay, I know a couple other ones.
He's got some classics.
Yes, but, he does.
So anyway, we try to have a little fun on that on Finally Friday.
Okay.
I'm still hoping to get my lawnmower fixed. I told you that I had to buy a key switch from a local business here, and the lady was real nice, and went ahead and ordered the part for me, and I think it's only like $20, so I'm hoping to pick that up today, and then I can get home and install that, which is just a simple plug, and then I'm really wanting to mow this weekend. And so that's my hopes, because all my neighbors have mowed.
Just get it done before Tuesday.
Yeah, before the snow.
Before the snow gets back here.
Oh, gosh. Well, all my neighbors have mowed, so I'm kind of looking like the ugly house on the block.
He's got the shaggy hair.
I got the shaggy lawn, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Ken and I have about 10 minutes left in the program, a little less than that. If you'd like to give us a call at 659-3338. We had Rodney Wan call up earlier this week, just boom, out of the blue. And he was telling, which he's, of course, welcome to do anytime.
Yeah.
And he was telling us that they had just found out the health department will be able to have a pop-up vaccination clinic for the Moderna vaccine tomorrow. Now, I think he called Wednesday morning and was telling us about this.
Yeah, it was.
So 9 to 3 are the hours tomorrow at the Clinton County Fairgrounds. Now, this is like where you can just walk in and get the vaccination. So the walk-ins are welcomed, and appointments are taken if you'd like to go ahead and sign that up. So if you go to just walk in and get a vaccine tomorrow, you may have to wait just a few minutes.
One thing I think you better be aware on that, though, if you just walk in and you haven't registered with the state, you may have some issues with, so you might be good to go ahead and pre-register.
It'd be good to do that.
Yeah.
But if you do just walk in, you may have to wait a little
or go
ahead and register once you get there.
That's right.
It may
take an extra 15, 20 minutes to get that taken care of.
Right. So this is the first vaccination clinic held on a Saturday in the area, so we're hoping to be able to reach some more folks. And, again, it's all free unless you've got insurance, and then they'll go ahead and give them a COVID processing fee or something. But 9 to 3 tomorrow at the Clinton County Fairgrounds for a walk-in, or you can go ahead and register, pop-up vaccination clinic, a chance to get the Moderna, which I think was being offered at Speedway, too.
Right.
And that's what Rodney said. Hey, don't need to drive down there. Just come do it Saturday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what I've got is Moderna. I'd have to go look at the card to make sure. But
and it's ourshot.in.gov.
Or call 211.
Yes, exactly. If there's something on your mind, Ken and I would love to talk to you. Just about 5 minutes left here at 659-3338. Indy Public Works are contributing over $2.2 million to help some neighborhood infrastructures. The grants will fund 12 projects this year. It includes the expansion of the Indianapolis Cultural Trail, which is really, really cool if you ever had a chance to check out portions of that. Also some local sidewalk projects. And the Neighborhood Infrastructure Partnership started 4 years ago and has already provided funding for 45 projects. Let's see. Also, Princes William and Harry will not.
God. Oh, gee. Didn't I bring this story up?
Oh, I got to bring it up. It's Friday.
No, you don't need to do that, even on Friday.
Well, William and Harry will not walk side by side at their grandfather's funeral tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Buckingham Palace says their cousin Peter Phillips will walk between the brothers in the funeral procession behind Prince Philip's coffin before his funeral at Windsor Castle on Saturday. I'm here to tell you, I think there's probably a lot more at play here because I can't imagine anything, and I mean anything, that would come between me and my brothers to where if I was, you know, we hadn't seen each other for a year, maybe there's some bad blood or something, but if our grandfather died, I would be there, and I'd give them a hug and shake their hands, and, you know, I mean, it's your brother, man.
I don't care if you're a prince or not. I would agree, but I'm going to disagree a bit because it all depends on what gets said.
No, that's true.
And
both parties would have to feel that
right,
way.
Right, that's exactly. And so, you know, it all depends on what kind of subjects get brought up. And I'm sure if you your brother, brought something up that was kind of, a little bit tense or a little bit on the friction side.
Yeah, it would be bad.
Depending upon the tone.
Right.
And everything else, and then depending on where you are and what you're doing, it could become.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you like to think, we're all adults, right? Let's behave accordingly.
Well, but how many times do we not?
No, that's true, especially when it comes to family sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day. Cindy told me about this earlier this week, Lovelace.
I haven't done that, but I know what the day is.
Well, most of us have been doing this for a year now, right? Of course, from working from home.
Yeah.
The word pajamas comes from the Persian word pajama, which just means loose-fitting drawstring pants. But PJs, jammies, and gym jams are 100% American phrases. It's also National Clean Out Your Medicine Cabinet Day, which is the third Friday in April. Expired medicine can make you sick. Take all your old drugs back to the pharmacy where they'll dispose of them. Never flush them because they say they get into the water supply.
It does.
And there's also a lot of communities, and I know we've done some locally and regionally, where they have the drug take back where you could just drop them off. What do you got over there, Ken?
Researchers are now thinking that the T-Rex population, way back when, a little bit before you and I thought of,
right,
was roughly 2.5 billion.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of T-Rexes.
Yeah. So says here the team estimated that around 20,000 adult T-Rexes existed at any one time, with one meat-eating dinosaur for every 38 square miles.
Wow. Okay. Well, that That would explain a lot of things.
Yes.
And we probably goes to tell us if we dug just a little deeper.
We probably still find a few over out here.
Yeah, and they may have a couple down there at Jackson and Walnut.
Well, I was going to say, when I was up in North Dakota, that was found very frequently.
Yeah. Yeah.
That really was. I mean, they said one of the museums in Bismarck, they found, an old woolly mammoth down there. Pretty much intact, which would scare the heck out of me.
Isn't that crazy?
I wouldn't even want to think about that. So,
woolly mammoths, they were big.
Yeah, and also they had those big, long tusks. Not horns, they're just tusks.
Yeah, those are intimidating.
And then if they get started, get out of their way.
Have you seen the new time-lapse feature on Google Earth? I've watched a little bit of this. I always like checking out Google Earth. It stitches together satellite imagery.
Yes, I have. You're mentioning it.
Yeah.
I was watching it this morning. Didn't know what I was watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's stitched together satellite imagery going all the way back to 1984 to show how the world has changed.
Uh-huh.
You won't be able to zoom up into your neighborhood and see how many Starbucks have popped up.
Right.
Instead, it's called Earth Engine, and it focuses on specific areas like melting Columbia glaciers in Alaska, and also urban sprawl in Las Vegas and deforestation in Brazil. That would be cool.
Yeah,
check
it would
out.
Be. And I was watching one this morning. How much a small town in Wyoming, it had to be Wyoming that had it at the time, but how much it has sprawled out and grown over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was really kind of fun to watch. It's like this little bitty spot, and all at once it's got this. It's not a metropolis by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a pretty good size.
Yeah, you can see it grow.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
And last but not least, for some reason, folks in Wyoming really don't want a vaccine. The U.S. Department of Health says Wyoming has the most vaccine-hesitant counties in the country, where a third of residents are turning them down. Mississippi, North and South Dakota also ending up with a whole lot of leftover vaccine. So,
knowing those areas as I do, I am not surprised.
Probably doesn't surprise you too much.
Not surprised.
Pretty independent folk out there, aren't they?
Yes.
All right. Well, Ken, have a great weekend, man.
All right.
And thank you for joining us, and thanks to our Party Line sponsors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Ivy Tech Community College, your Edward Jones advisor, Brett Capps, Simple Time Antiques, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, plus Welty Custom Exteriors. We'll be back Monday morning at 8:30 for a Monday edition of Party Line. Have a great weekend from Wylo.